All right. Well, I want to thank y'all for being here and thank the boys for the lesson. Lord, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for all that you do for us. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon this time we spend together. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Help us be faithful to you. Help us bring glory and honor in what we say and do. Again, Lord, we just ask that you'd help us as we reflect on the love of God. Just help us reflect that to the world. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to open our Bibles to Matthew. Chapter 5. Keep in mind this song we sing. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever more endure the saints and angels' song. That's just a real blessing. When we have that in perspective, it helps us to realize who we are and helps us to be what we need to be. This morning, I'm going to read Matthew 5. I just want to take verse 5 mainly. It says, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." In King James, it uses the word meek. And I think gentle is probably a word that we most likely think of, but I don't necessarily think it's a very accurate description of meekness. A lot of times people talk about meekness and they associate that with weakness, but it's not weak at all. Meekness takes a strength and a courage that the strongest don't possess. Whenever the Lord says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," he's talking about someone that is going to inherit something. A lot of times, like I said, whenever we think of meek, we just think of just kind of huddled in a corner, half afraid and half scared to do anything. But that is not what meekness is. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man on the earth. And we know Moses wasn't a coward. We know Moses wasn't someone that's just hidden away afraid. He wasn't a weak man. He's a very powerful man. But he had meekness. And I just want to kind of share some thoughts on meekness and what meekness really is. And I guess one of the things that came to my mind is when I think about meekness is they don't expect anything. A meek person doesn't expect anything from anybody else. They, you know, what I mean by that is oftentimes we get our hopes set on someone else and how they're going to perform, what they're going to do for us, or how they're going to help us. That's the opposite of meekness. Meekness is someone that takes care of what they're supposed to be doing, and they don't expect anyone to just give them anything. You know, used to be people were ashamed to take any help from anyone. It's very difficult for them to take help. And some of that is meekness, maybe. A lot of it's pride. I remember one time someone was trying to give me some help, and he just stopped and he said, "Why are you denying me a blessing and trying to help you? I'm trying." Whenever we don't let someone help us that truly want to help us, we are not only being full of pride, we are stopping them from actually doing what they want to do. It gets more, it doesn't just affect you because someone wants to help you. And so there's nothing wrong with getting some help once in a while when we need it. But to sit around or just to wait and expect someone to help you and then be upset or angry because they haven't, that's not meekness. I mean, there's a lot of people that work. I've just noticed this in my life, that I've been around people that just worked like dogs. I mean, just worked, just busy all the time. You just look at them and they just look like they're working all the time, and they're just running here and there. Sometimes it's just a lot of motion, but they think they're doing something, but they're really going for it. And I've noticed a lot of times with people that are of that mindset, they usually complain a lot. They complain because, well, somebody else isn't doing their part, and I'm going to have to do it. And so they just run out there, and so they work, and grot. It's just kind of the way it works. I've noticed that. Not everybody. I've seen a lot of people who just work. They put their head down and mind their own business and do their own thing and don't expect everyone to keep up with them. That's where meekness comes in. That's trying to give you the idea of meekness, that a meekness is whenever I'm expecting someone else to do something for me. We have the same idea whenever we think of God. There's a lot of people expect Him to fix things for them, expect Him to do everything for them, expect Him to save us. He saves us because He loves us. He's provided a way for us and takes care of us because He loves us, and He gives us what we need. And a lot of times people just complain and bellyache in their hearts. They might not do it out loud so much, but a lot of times in our hearts we kind of blame God for things. That's a lack of meekness. It's because we're expecting something else from someone else. A meek person is able to just do what they're supposed to do and be content with that. And if other people fail them, it doesn't go very deep. You know, we all get hurt whenever someone disappoints us, but we can't let it bother us. We just got to let it brush off. It's a little like turning the other cheek, forgiving people. If we don't forgive, you know, there's a conflict there. But when we go away from it, when we don't forgive, it winds up hurting us. And a lot of unforgiveness, a lot of people can't forgive because they've expected someone to be something, and we didn't meet up to their expectations. That's where the meekness comes in, to learn meekness. We feel bad because someone's failed us. And we do that a lot of times, and we become upset. And then we can't forgive it because they failed us. But it's out of an expectation of what we have of other people. We love it when everyone does their part. We love it when everybody performs, when everybody does what they're supposed to do. But that shouldn't affect how we perform. We should just get up and do what we're supposed to do right along the way and be an example if people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. You know, it's easy whenever we're really out there doing something and then somebody's not doing quite what they ought to be doing. And, well, we just want to kind of gets under our skin. There's a way, an opportunity to practice this meekness. And I think that's the heart of what meekness is. It allows us, like this says it, the gentle. That's a beautiful way to show meekness, is by being gentle. I think gentle is just an attribute of meekness. It's just something that comes with it. I think the meekness is much different than that. The meekness is in our hearts. And just like patience and all those other things, there are things that we have to build on, that we learn, that we grow into. In John chapter 21, this is verse 18, kind of where it starts here. Verse 18, it says, chapter 21, verse 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. This is Peter he's talking to. He told him that when you're older, they're going to tie you up and you're going to be led where you don't want to go. Not a very good news, not very pleasant. But then he said, this is how you're going to glorify God. But then he said to him, follow me. After turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper, and he said, Lord, who is the one that betrays you? Here Peter talking to the Lord, and he didn't like what he heard. So he turned around and he saw what would appear to him, possibly, as his favorite. You know, sometimes we don't think about things like that, but these men were men just like you and I were. You know, sometimes it's just not nice not to be the favorite. Everybody wants to be the favorite. But when there's only one favorite, that leaves a whole lot of people out that aren't the favorite. So it's not likely we're going to be the favorite very many times and in very many people's lives. But it bothers us. He said, Lord, turning around, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I didn't like what you told me. And then he looked around and just, Lord, who is it that betrays you? Almost like he's trying to put a little wedge in there. It's not very meek. So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Lord, what about this man? You know, those few words there tell us so much about how not to follow the Lord. The Lord tells us something. We get a little barbed. We start looking around a little bit, see someone gets favored more than we do. And then we begin to get concerned about what they are going to have to do. Lord, you told me this. What's he going to have to do? You know, whenever you say it in a certain way, it's pretty ugly. I'm not picking on Peter here. He's just like you and I. We have the same ideas and the same tendency. We get told something a little harder than everybody else. And first thing we want to do is, well, what about them? Why do they get it so easy? You know, we see it in our children. If you'd give one of them a piece of candy and not the rest of them, what do you think the children are going to think? They might get them down and take it away from them. We wouldn't think it was very pretty, would we? And even though it might not be fair, if the others got upset, who would we be upset with? The one that got the extra piece of candy? Or the one that got upset for it? We'd be upset with the one that got upset. Even though they didn't get as much as the other child. You see, because the whole focus of that is not about meekness. Focus of that is about meanness. And there's a difference. Great difference. I'm worried about what somebody else is going to have to go through because they got it better than I do. You know, there's whole movements in the world that are driven by that thought and by that idea. How do you think communism and socialism gets a foothold? Because they say, look at those rich people and how bad they're treating you, and it makes people mad. And so they all run on each other's anger, their fuel of bitterness, because somebody else has got it better than I do. You see, in a lot of those cases, they're fighting over something. Who gets the most? And I think that's why Jesus talked about the meek shall inherit the earth. I mean, we see whole bands of people driven, and they give power to people who are trying to take the world over. Not satisfied with just controlling everything, they want to dominate everything. Because that's where that unmeek character leads us to. You know, we see a lot of people and we wonder, how could they believe the way they do? How can they be so upset about things? And if we really get down to the heart of it, is they've allowed them, because of their inability to be meek and accept their place and in their position, they've allowed that to turn into bitterness and anger. And that's fogged their mind. That's how people are deluded. That's how people are deceived into believing only what they want to hear. This is just one way that it happens. Like I said, it's a powerful thing in this world. It's brought millions and millions of people, if not billions, into bondage, physically and spiritually. The meek shall inherit the earth. Who cares if someone is? What does it matter to me if someone else gets a little more than I do, if I can't just be happy with what I've got, I won't be happy with his either. Then I'll want the next guy's. Meekness, being able to accept who you are, where you are, your station in life, and not hold any bitterness or ill feeling towards someone that's got it better than you. So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" You know, might seem like we're picking on Peter, but because he said that, God used it for good. God needed a Peter to help everybody else get where they're supposed to be, to see what they need to see. And then Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" And I think that's what we need to ask ourselves quite often. If I want him to do absolutely nothing, why you have to go and work all day long, what is that to you? If I want him not to have to give anything, not to have to help at all, what is that to you? You know, we can apply that question in any thing in our life. If I want him to have a good life, a nice home, a nice family, just prosperous, a good business, and you don't get anything but pain and suffering and hardship, what is that to you? That's what he's saying here. Peter, he was told, well, when you get a little older, you're going to be bound, and then they're going to put you to death for serving me. Peter said, well, what about him? He was almost hoping he'd get the same or worse. Sounds like it's kind of the way our nature is, isn't it? He said, then Peter said, or Jesus said, if he lives to be 2,000 years old with blessings all of his life. That's what he was saying. I mean, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus. If he lives until I come back, what does that matter to you? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek are concerned about what they're supposed to do. And if nobody helps them, they still do what they're supposed to do. The meek do what they're supposed to do. And if people get mad at them, turn against them and take it all away, they still just do what they're supposed to do. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Whenever we're worried about what will this man do, we are not being meek. We're not being gentle. We're playing with the fire that would destroy this world. The heart of how people are motivated into mobs and riots. It's because someone is getting it better than someone else. It's an ugly thing. If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. To Peter, he told him what was going to happen to him, and he said, follow me. John, if I give him the whole world, follow me. See, meekness is following Jesus. Minding our own business. Doing what he wants us to do. Not all jealous and envious, covetous about what somebody else has, wants, or does. But being able to follow him. Whatever he wants for us. Lord, add his blessings. All right, anybody have anything you'd like to share?
It's just real easy to get off the path. And then, like, you kind of come to for a minute and you're like, well, where am I going? I mean, there's really nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. I think Peter probably came to a couple times, but it seems like it in the Bible, you know, and like, what am I doing, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a blessing to, I guess not sometimes, but it's just really a blessing to be able to see things sometimes. And it's just amazing how quick you can go blind. Mm-hmm. But I look back on different things in my life, and, you know, some of them were horrible, and it was horrible to go through. But if that hadn't happened, you know, this wouldn't have happened, or that wouldn't have happened, you know? I mean, it's just like, you know, God definitely has a plan, but it's just, you know, getting pulled over in Kansas. I mean, that was just, if I'd have made it where I was going, you know, it just, it wouldn't have been good, you know? No. I mean, and then there, you know, if I'd have left here that day that I was talking to Kevin, if I'd have left, you know, I wouldn't be here, you know, so to speak. And then, I don't know. The other day out in the yard, it just kind of came, you know, just. So I'm trying. Pray for me.
God bless you. All right. You know, I was just thinking, maybe a lot of the younger boys have been kind of graduating, and they're about the time the young men ought to be really doing something, they don't do much. I'm thinking maybe 30 and under or something, having a devotion every Sunday morning, one of them, just have a little rotate. Just have a little 5 or 10 minute devotion. Just exercise yourselves just a little bit. So, might we might tweak that a little bit, but we'll one of you plan on having it next Sunday, just after the young boy, the little boys have the young men exercise their muscles a little bit. So.
Can I make a list?
Make a list, Kev. Sounds good.
Thursday?
Oh. I don't know. I guess we could do 35. We might even add, we might even do the men too, but we'll try it with the young men. Start with them. See how it goes.
For this week, the assignment was to get, to think of somebody that helped you. And the people that have helped me most are my parents and the brethren in the church here. And because without parents, nobody would be anything.
A few years ago in Oklahoma, we had a friend who, when he was younger, he had a really successful print shop. And when he got a little bit older, he decided that he wanted to sell all that and spend his life helping the people around him and being a Christian. And it was just kind of neat how he gave up all that in order to pursue what had real value.
I always think of our neighbor Bob Carter has helped our family so much, and me personally. And we read this, we've been reading this joke book kind of, and it says every kid needs to have an old man. And that's what Bob Carter has always been to us boys, just learn a lot from him. So.
When we lived in Oklahoma, we had some friends. They went to our church, but they lived just like two houses down the street from us. And when I was like 7 or 8 years old, I had a really bad asthma attack, and none of our vehicles were working, or Dad was gone or something. But they just came over real fast and stopped whatever they were doing and took me in their van to go to the doctor, and that was really nice.
Back in Mexico, we had a really nice neighbor. One time when we needed a place, we were looking for a place, he let us move into their house for a good little while. He was just looking for times to help us. It was really nice.
There's been a lot of people that's helped me through my lifetime. Granddad, Uncle David, my family, parents, brothers and sisters. Just there's everybody's. The brother in here, everybody that I know has looked for some way to help me at some point in time, and I really appreciate it.
When I'm sick, Emily will help me with my chores.
I was thinking my parents and my grandparents, they've always helped me through the years, and I wouldn't be who I am today without them.
Okay, for next week, boys, find a reason. I was thinking what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, give unto men and they'll give unto you more than you give to them. The measure that you meet to them, they'll give back to you, pressed down and running over. And I was thinking about giving and helping other people. And I wanted to know what helps you to give to somebody else? What helps you to remember to give to somebody else? And maybe, yeah, to something that helps you to not be selfish, or that helps you to be generous and give and help other people.
Immortal, invisible God.
Yeah.
Creed.